You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, August 17th, 2011. This is episode 197. Be a smart listener. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast. We're up to episode 197, creeping up slowly on that magical episode 200. I am Martin Spriggs, one of your regular hosts. The other regular host is right here as well, virtually speaking, Sally Draper from Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. I can't believe it, but we're almost at the end of summertime here in Sleepy Eye. The way that I know is because Buttered Corn Days is this weekend.
Ah, yes.
The famous Sleepy Eye Buttered Corn Days tradition.
One of these years I'm going to have to get up there for Buttered Corn Days. Now, is that a whole weekend or a week, or is it... What's the time frame for Buttered
Corn? It's pretty much a Friday-Saturday event. On Friday, they have this all-day-long party in the park. We have the polka bands playing, and we have a corn-eating contest. But the highlight of the whole thing is all the buttered corn you want for free. Mm-hmm. And they cook it up. We have a Del Monte plant in town, and there's a processing place where they cook it and bring it into the park. And dunk it in vats of melted butter, and then they pull it right out and serve it to you hot. And it's really good. It's
just
really
a year's supply of fat and starch.
Exactly. People bring their big roaster pans, and they'll give you up to a dozen ears
per person
for free, you know, and you can just go back and get some more if you don't have enough.
Great, right off the stock, I suppose, out there.
Yeah, it's really amazing sweet corn. If you hadn't tasted Sleepy Eye corn, you need to come and give it a try. So that's all day long on Friday. Our church actually has a pie stand, and our ladies here at St. John's make 80 pies every year, homemade, fresh pecan, rhubarb, apple, peach, everything you can imagine, pies. Mm-hmm. It's really a neat treat. And then on Saturday, we have a morning run and bike ride. And in the evening, we have a huge parade. And St. John's is going to be in the parade. We're doing our VBS theme, a robot connection parade float, I guess you'd call it. Mm-hmm. It's actually going to be somebody's pickup truck, but we'll call it a float. So should be a fun weekend.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, have fun with that. That actually sounds like a lot of fun. Good old country fun.
That's right.
I suppose we should talk about some technology, however, as much as I'd like. I did, by the way, I did have some buttered corn at the Wisconsin State Fair. It was delicious. Just one. They only gave out one, and they actually charged for it, but it was good.
Got to come to Sleepy Eye.
To the last kernel. All right, let's talk about Wells Hacker, our summer series. And as you mentioned, summer's drawing to a close, but we've been doing this since June, and every week, Sally and I both post a blog post on our personal blogs, martinspriggs.com and sallydraper.com, about something technology-related, but something that maybe is helpful as you're considering different tools for ministry, whether it be in a church, in the school, in the church office or school office. And we try and provide some step-by-steps, usually. And we were just talking on our pre-show conversation about how, while it's a chore to do that every week, it's really a learning experience. And I know every time I write one of these up, I have to do a little research, get to know a particular tool or process a little bit more so that I can at least sound semi-educated as I share my blog posts.
Yep, and that's exactly what I did this week, Martin. I did a little research, and I did it on the smart board because I had committed to our teaching staff here at St. John's that we would have a refresher time mm-hmm. on the smart board. And all of them were familiar with the smart board, but it's always good to go back and get new ideas and just kind of review the best practices for use of the smart board, that kind of thing. And as I was doing my research, I kind of went back to one of my old favorites to collect all my research, and that is doing a mind map. Martin, you and I, actually, I think you introduced me to mind mapping several years ago, but we're both big mind mappers. It's a mm-hmm. great way to brainstorm ideas and to organize things, and I've kind of learned to use it as a presentation tool as well. My mind mapping choice for presenting is MindDomo.com, mm-hmm. which is an online mind mapping tool. And what's cool about it is you can share a link to it with those that you are presenting to or sharing with, and they can go and explore the mind map themselves. They can bookmark it as a resource for when they need it. And so that's exactly what I did with my smart resources as I gathered them. And then I thought it would be just a natural fit to go ahead and share them, especially with the teachers in our listening audience who use smart boards. And I guess that would certainly include pastors who are teaching catechism classes mm-hmm. as well, or are teaching Bible classes. So anywhere you have a smart board, these resources might be of use to you. And even if you don't have a smart board, many of the manipulative, interactive resources that I share can work with any projection. And so you could use it without having the touch screen kind of ability with it as well.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned sharing this. When you posted your blog post this week, I immediately shared it with my wife because she's constantly saying, well, I wish I could get a little bit smarter, you know, on the smart board, because it's an underutilized tool, I think, in many of our classrooms.
Yeah, and I was really excited because there were several resources that I was familiar with, but as I started digging, I found more and more and more. So I did organize the map, and there is a section just on training and support. So if you're just looking at getting started or finding some really great video tutorials and things to help you get started, I found some wonderful ones to share. Mm-hmm. And one in particular that I want to make mention of, and I'm just zapping open that map right now, are video tutorials from a site called Fusion Smart. And I was really impressed with these tutorials. And one thing I like about them is they aren't very long. They're broken up into really small snippets. So 1 minute to 3 minute long short video tutorials that show things like how to write on the whiteboard, or how to join words that are split into different parts, or how to draw simple shapes using the shape tool. And so you don't have to be invested in a 20 minute video. You can just go in and find the exact topic you're mm-hmm. looking for help with. And these videos are out there totally for free. Some of the training resources I pointed to are pay-for resources, but many of them are available for free. So you might want to check that section out if you want to just kind of brush up on a few things related to the mm-hmm. smart board.
Sweet.
And then I found a lot of blogs and podcasts. There's some video podcasts, kind of similar to our weekly show, where they come out with a weekly video show where they've recorded their screen as they're talking mm-hmm. And demonstrating things related to the smart board. And that one's called Teaching with Smart Boards. And I think they have about 60 episodes out there where they've done this video podcast. So I was real impressed with that one as well.
Nice.
And then The biggie is the file section, where you can find just thousands of smart board notebook files available on the web, shared freely, and you can download these files and customize them to your needs. And the best place to do that is on the Smart Exchange, which is hosted on the Smart website. And I think there's over 50,000 files shared there on Smart Exchange. So pretty much any topic that you're looking to teach, someone's probably already put together a smart notebook file on it. And like I said, you aren't just, married to exactly the way they put their resources together. You can download it and make changes to it to your heart's content. But it's a great way to get started if you're looking for a particular lesson, or if you need something quick and you don't have time to develop your own, you might want to check that out. Mm-hmm. A couple of others that I shared, one that's my favorite, is called Harvey's Smart Board Teacher Utilities. And it's not got a huge number of files on it, probably 10 to 20 listed on this particular page. But there's some really fun games and things. I downloaded a Wheel of Fortune game that I use with my kids. So you hide your words as if it's a Wheel of Fortune kind of like a hangman kind of concept. And they get to spin the wheel and get dollar values or bankrupt or whatever. And so the kids love that game. And that's just one of many that Harvey has posted on his page. So I also found a Google search engine that's just for searching for smart notebook files. So a customized Google search for smart. And I thought that might be of benefit to people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last section of the mind map is called Online Games and Manipulatives. And this one's really short. It could be a lot longer, I'm sure, because there's plenty of manipulative type websites that you could make use of. PBS has a bunch of kids games, particularly for K through third grade or pre-K even, that work well on the smart board. And so I included a link to that. There's also the National Library of Virtual Manipulatives, which is an interactive web page that has a lot of math-oriented manipulatives. So if you want to do bar charts or you want to play with an abacus on the screen or whatever, you can do that there. But that one's really open-ended. Really, whatever favorite websites you have that have that manipulative type of quality to them, try them out on your smart board. Have your kids come to the board and work with that website, and you'll be excited with the results there. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much a walkthrough of the resource map that I shared with my teachers at St. John's. And the last thing I included in my blog post for those that are interested are some other resource maps that I've created through the years. There's a couple related to websites and webmasters. And then there's one called Implementing Technology in the Classroom, which covers a wide variety of subject areas and tools that you can use in the classroom. So if you're looking for any of those topics, there are resource maps available for those as well.
Sounds good. I love the title. Smart is as smart does.
Yep. Got a little Forrest Gump title.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Yeah, I'm creative like that. Especially when it's the end of summer and I've been blogging every week. So,
If anybody is interested in exploring the purchase of smart boards or you want to add some more, just please keep in mind that the ShopWells program does offer discounts on smart boards through our partner InfoCore. If you go to shopwells.net, you'll find a link there for smart boards, and that would be great to take a look at if you are in the market, wherever
great
you
reminder.
Are.
Great reminder. Thank
yep.
you.
Yep. All right. My blog post on martinspriggs.com is actually a product, and it is a audio Bible. We've talked about audio Bibles before, and this one is very timely for me. My wife and I, Debbie and I, have been reading through the Bible in a year. It was a program that we started at our church, and we made one-year Bibles available to anybody who wanted them, so we had about 250 that went out the door and are in the hands of Peace Lutheran members, which is wonderful. And Debbie and I have been keeping up pretty regularly, and so we're well along, obviously more than halfway through the Bible. And one thing we found, and we're kind of, we slug through Chronicles and Kings, and mm-hmm. now we're in Nehemiah. And one thing that is fairly prototypic of some sections of Scripture there are just the row upon row of names and locations. And if you've done any reading in the Old Testament, especially in those books, you know what I'm talking about. Not always the easiest to pronounce. So what we've started doing this summer is where we get to some of those chapters that are mostly full of names, and we want to obviously read all of them, but we struggle with sometimes the pronunciation of some of those names. So we look for help, and lo and behold, the Bible version that I'm using, I use an electronic Bible on my iPad usually when we read, is through YouVersion, offers something called the Listener's Bible, narrated by Max McLean. And that's what my blog post is about, how you can get access to this. I have a little bio of Max there that comes from the Listener Bible website. Max McLean is the president of the Fellowship for the Performing Arts, and he just has a wonderful, wonderful voice. And he essentially reads through the entire Bible. The 1984 version of the NIV Bible is available through YouVersion. So if you're on a mobile platform, there's a little icon at the bottom of each chapter that will allow you to play his narration of the Bible. And I really have to give him credit. Very smooth through those lists of names that are extremely difficult to pronounce. And I give an example of an excerpt we read last night from Nehemiah 10. And I'm not going to read it here on the air, but he does a masterful job, and I can't imagine how much he had to practice to get all those pronunciations correct. But it makes it a lot more enjoyable, I think, to listen to some of those. And we don't have him read the entire Bible because certainly the New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, we read, but some of these stickier sections, we just click the button and listen to Max read, and it's been a really neat experience. This whole narrated Bible, the listener's Bible, is available for download, and also you can play it not just on mobile devices, but you can play it on the Bible Gateway website. You can click on a selection, and a little flash player will pop up, and you can hear Max narrate that particular portion of Scripture. But you can also pay for and download MP3 files, so you could have the entire narrated Bible on your on an MP3 player. There's slight background music just to give it a little theme to it, which is nicely done. It's not overly dramatic. I think just his reading is dramatic enough. And he does, as I mentioned, a really nice job. So definitely worth the effort to give it a try and play with a little bit. I think the MP3 version of the Bible is like $49 for the downloadable files. It comes on DVDs and CDs as well, if that's your preference. And then I listed a number in the blog post, a number of potential ministry uses other than just the personal Bible study that I've been talking about, but things like playing selections for your classroom or catechism class, using the recordings as background music in the narthex or other church locations when, let's say, maybe when the service isn't going on, providing copies, obviously, to shut-ins or those with vision difficulties. Use it kind of how we've used it, as a pronunciation guide for some of those difficult names of people and locations. Another potential ministry uses in an assistance or to assist with Bible passage memorization, to hear somebody read it and maybe reread it might better plant it in your memory if you're trying to memorize Bible passages or your confirmands are, or as a giveaway to visitors or confirmands. The list really goes on of all the ministry uses for an audio Bible, and these are, as I mentioned, this particular one is extremely well done. So that is the Listener's Bible, narrated by Max McLean.
And that Bible Gateway version is the same narration,
it is.
Or is it different?
Yes, it's the
same.
Oh,
that's pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. So I love that you did the ministry applications there, Martin. I think that's an awesome list and a great idea to, provide copies to shut-ins or even just teach them how to listen to it on their computer or their mm-hmm. mobile device or whatever.
So yeah, lots of
great points there, and an exciting way to use the Bible.
It is. Yep, brings it to life a little bit. So, mm-hmm. All right, shall we move on?
Sure. We have an interesting contest or invitation, I guess we should say, to our listeners mm-hmm. with a prize at the end. So, and that's related to our 200th episode celebration, which is coming up on September 7th. We're inviting everyone who listens and is part of the Wells Tech community to give us a shout out, to call into our voicemail line at 405-4-WELLS. That's 405-367-9357. And leave us a voicemail. Leave us a short recording that we can include in our 200th podcast. We'd like everyone's voice to be a part of that special episode. And at the end of the line, we have a really cool flip video camera to give away to one of those who call in and leave a message. So
I'm holding it in my hand. It comes in a kind of a Apple-esque looking packaging, and what we've done is we've given it a special design, a Wells Tech design, so that the front side of the flip phone is our Wells Tech logo and the blue background that you see when you go to our website. It really turned out nice. So This is a really neat giveaway. So you will want to get yourself entered, and it's really easy to do. Just call that number, leave us maybe your favorite technology and ministry tip, or just to say hi or whatever it is. We've got maybe a half dozen so far just from last week's show, so we're expecting more. But you should get that in so we can get you on the show and get you into the pool for the Flip Mino HD camera.
Probably the best odds you'll ever get
in a giveaway. Kidding. No kidding.
Call in and be part of this giveaway. The camera value is right around $100. The voicemail line is open all the time, but the contest ends September 5th, which is Labor Day, at the end of Labor Day. So you want to get your voicemail in before then and be a part of our special 200th episode.
We'd love to hear from our listeners who actually make this show go.
Absolutely.
All right, I just wanted to do another quick promo or promotion for an open position we have in the Synod Administration Building right here in Milwaukee. We have an opening in for our help desk. We have one primary help desk support person who is leaving, unfortunately, so we need to replace him. And that position is open if you have help desk skills. So it's obviously a technical position, somebody who can knows their way around a computer, likes working with people, likes talking to people on the phone and assisting them with their issues, either logging into our websites or helping them with desktop tools, setting up laptops and desktops, doing installations, that kind of stuff, maybe even some technical writing. We would love to know about people who might be interested in that position. You can just send us an email to wellstech@wells.net if you'd like to know more, get a job description, or send a resume, or give us a tip on somebody that may be looking that you are aware of. Please let us know.
Well, that position is kind of the nerve center of our tech department, and so we're excited to find just the right person for that. That'll be great.
Sure. Let's move on to community feedback, Sally.
You bet. We had some comments on our recent Wells Hacker blog post. Mm-hmm. I blogged last week about broadcasting live from my iPad and using it even in our church basement over a wireless communication network and being able to broadcast our church services using just the iPad and the camera that's embedded there. And I had an interesting comment from Mark Buskey, who is the marketing director at Northwestern Publishing House. And it's a great reminder to everyone. Mark said that he enjoyed the post, but he wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of copyright law around video, especially around video archiving and audio as well, archiving of services and that type of thing. I kind of explained it and corresponded with Mark that it was my understanding that you could do the live broadcast, and that's as if someone's sitting in your pews and you have copyright permission to use hymns and liturgy and that kind of thing in your worship service live, and so the same applies to the live broadcast. But when you get into saving that video and archiving it on the Wells and saying come and watch our broadcast at any time, then that's where you really get into some stickiness with copyright, because unless you have the proper licensing permissions, you really shouldn't be archiving the hymns and liturgy and things that are covered by copyright. Here at St. John's, we just archive just the sermon portion, which my husband is the pastor and he holds the copyright to, and he's okay with that being archived. But beyond that, we don't do any specific recording of our services to post on the web. So I think that's an excellent reminder, Mark. Anytime we're talking about audio and video over the web, we should always keep those copyright concerns in mind.
Yep. Very good.
And I had one other comment on that post, and that was from Karen, who's a friend of mine in central Wisconsin. And she wrote, wow, that's a great idea, Sally. I don't know much about the iPad, but that much equipment investment might be easier for a small congregation like ours to swallow. Thanks for the ideas. So that was my point. You don't have to buy an expensive camera and have a dedicated computer and, you know, that kind of setup. With an iPad, you can go live with video from anywhere you have a wireless connection, basically. So I do think it might be something for congregations to check out for that live video aspect.
Absolutely. And I had one comment on my blog post on Outlook and using the Quick Steps feature that is new to Outlook 2010. And that was from Amin. He said, nice article, Martin. Thank you so much. I think if we well customize Outlook 2010 using the great Quick Steps and Rules feature, we can have a real trusted GTD system, which was the point of my article. And then he went on to say that, it looks like with Quick Steps, you don't really even need the GTD, that's the Getting Things Done plugin, which I didn't mention in the blog post, but I have in previous shows. And that is something that was custom developed by the David Allen Company for Outlook that implements that GTD system within Outlook. Because with Quick Steps, they've kind of obviated the need to have that kind of tool because you can kind of build it yourself, so you don't have to pay for it. I think it was an $80 product, something like that. Now you can kind of build it yourself, and I walk you through doing that in that blog post. So thank you for the comment. I mean, I thank you. Thank you very much.
And speaking of GTD, I tagged Indigo in our Wells Tech group interview that I recently came across where a radio show had interviewed David Allen. It's about an hour-long interview, and I think an excellent overview of the entire Getting Things Done process, and with the author, David Allen himself. And many of his podcasts and audio recordings are kind of locked up on his website, and you might have to pay for access to some of his coaching sessions and that kind of thing. So I thought this one is a really good free access look at the GTD system. So if you're new to it or looking to brush up on it or want to be inspired by David and his excellent stories of how getting things done and having mind like water can really change your life, then this might be a excellent recording to listen to.
Nice. I also had a Digo link this week, and I referenced a Church Crunch or Church Magazine or Church Mag blog post entitled Must Have Bible Teaching iPhone App. And they do a quick review on an iPhone app called Clips. And Clips is described as, Clips will help you find scenes from great films that will help your audience engage with the Bible. This is a must-have app for pastors, small group leaders, and youth ministers. You can browse the movie library, look up topics you'd like to teach, or even search for a scene based on a particular verse. Once you find the movie you want to use, Clips makes it easy for you to have exactly what you need to lead a discussion. So it's many leaders, pastors, youth group leaders will look for movie clips and build a Bible study around a particular topic that is being portrayed in that scene from that movie. And this kind of brings it all together. Features include, according to the blog post, a library of 50 movies and growing, over 80 topics. You can search by title, topic, or verse. Share scene details via email. Share your favorite clips and add used clips to history. And easily find movies in iTunes through download links. So it sounds like, I have not tried this, but it sounds like a very useful tool for anybody interested in that kind of Bible teaching.
That's a great find, Martin. Mm-hmm. Next up in Digo, we heard from Jason Schmidt. And he shared a link to Learn to Type. It's called typingweb.com. And I actually have used this website. This is a really cool online typing website. And you can create accounts for your students, and they can log in and do their typing. It has time tests. It has games. And it progresses them through a real typing curriculum and gives them feedback all along the way. So I highly recommend this, and I think that's a great, great find, Jason. Thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. And then one more community feedback came from yours truly. I just had to include a link to this photo of my brand new iPad stand. If you're an iPad user, you know that it would be nice to be able to prop it up and watch it if you're doing a potentially watching a video or whatever it may be, to be able to put it on a stand. And I've looked around at different stands and the prices. There's many covers and things that come with stands as well. And I am just a little bit on the cheap side. So this weekend I was at my favorite store, Wally World or Walmart, and I found a 95-cent tabletop easel in the frame department. So this would be something you could set a frame on or a plate on or something like that. And it is perfect for my iPad. So a little bit cheaper than buying a stand in the technology area of Walmart, for sure. I spent just 95 cents and my iPad's sitting on it right now, and I'm really happy with it. So
nice.
Check it out.
It looks cool, too. It does not look like 99 cents worth of hardware there.
No, I'm way cool. I would only have cool stuff.
Of course. All right. I think that's it for community feedback, Sally, right?
That's it for today, yes.
Tune in next week, everybody, as we continue our Wells Hacker series. We've got some more blog posts for you and some more step-by-steps through different tools and technologies that we hope will be of some use to you and yours. Let's close the show with the music of Mike Wessendorf, his song Open the Door from his latest album called Undefined. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
I wonder if you ever tire of hearing from me and all my wants and my needs and my pride. When I walk past so many opportunities because they're not what I want for my life. Ask and receive, though I don't always ask for what's right. Help me to seek you and finally step into the light. When you open the door, I pray that you find me as a child that is seeking your face. When you open the door, please give me the courage to walk through with your mercy and grace. Open the door. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all your needs will be given to you. But as I struggle with the worries and the plans of life, help me believe in this promise and truth. Seek and I'll find the road that will lead me to you, and the path that will take me to the doors you want me to walk through. When you open the door, I pray that you find me as a child that is seeking your face. When you open the door, please give me the courage to walk through with your mercy and grace. When you open the door, as a child that is seeking your face. When you open the door, please give me the courage to walk through with your mercy and grace. When you open the door, I pray that you find me as a child that is seeking your face. When you open the door, please give me the courage to walk through with your mercy and grace, you open the door. You open